Afternoon. I'd like to bring House Hess to order. It is about 3:05, and present are Vice Chair Vasquez, Representative Tarr, Representative Stutz, Representative Talrico, Representative Wool, and Representative Foster is tied up. He'll be a few minutes late, and myself, Chair Seaton. This time I want to remind everybody about their cell phones and also to conduct discussion through the chair. And today we're going to have our first hearing on HB 59, which deals with marijuana concentrates. Before we go to that, I'd like to bring up House Bill 39, which we have in committee, and we've had it on previous discussion, and we're bringing this up for the purpose of an amendment. Representative Vasquez.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt HB 59, Work Draft 29/LSO257/P as the working document.
Brief it is.
Off the record, it was an inadvertent error. For the amendment, I wish to move the committee to adopt amendment to HB 39, and the amendment is 29/LSO227/8.3 to House Bill 39.
Thank you, and I'll object for discussion, and the members should see that they have that amendment on their desk in front of them. Representative Vasquez, would you like to explain what the amendment does?
Yes, the amendment 8.3 would require the Wellness Committee and the Department of Administration to provide the governor and the legislature with copies of the wellness recommendations and responses produced in the past year. The copies would be due on or before the second Monday in December of each year. This will simply close the loop, Mr. Chairman, and get the information back to the legislature, both as to the recommendations made by the committee, advisory committee, or commission, and the response to those recommendations by the Department of Health and Social Services.
Thank you, Representative. Are there further questions on the amendment? 8.3, it's on the table. Section G deals with the Commissioner of Administration making a report of the administration's actions, and Section H is the committee shall deliver their recommendations as well. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So members of the committee will serve without compensation, and to the extent that they'll be involved in writing the report, that would not have a fiscal impact. I imagine this would be something the commissioner's office could handle in terms of, it sounds like that's who's going to have the ultimate responsibility for drafting the report. But that doesn't change the fiscal situation. It would fall within the regular work completed by that individual or agency.
Representative Tarr, we had testimony at the last meeting from the department that said that adding this requirement would not change the zero fiscal note, and that the report would be conducted in their ordinary process of conducting business. Is there further discussion on the amendment? I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the amendment to HB 39. Are there any other additional objections? Seeing none, amendment number one, which is 39LSO227/A.3, is adopted. Are there any other amendments to House Bill 39 at this time? Seeing none, we will set aside House Bill 39. We will have that in committee, and now we will proceed to House Bill 59.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for the interruption. So on our calendar on Thursday, House Bill 39 is on the calendar for Thursday, so we're going to bring it back up for final discussion perhaps on Thursday.
Oh, that's correct, Representative Tarr. It will be on our agenda. We may or may not move it at that time.
Okay.
But that is part of the discussion that our guest, Dr. Matthews, will be coming, and he will be talking about issues related to vitamin D and how that could impact our lowering the healthcare costs in Alaska.
Excellent. Thank you.
Is there further discussion before we proceed?
Seeing none, thank you. So, Representative Vasquez.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt HB 59, work draft 29-LSO257/PS, the working document.
Are there any questions? Any objections? Seeing none, we now have version P before us. And a brief at ease. Table to present House Bill 59.
So for the record, my name is Tanika Hansen. I'm staff to Representative Seaton. So the intent of House Bill 59 is to give the regulating entity in current draft of the bill, that's the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, give the regulating entity a safety net for making sure that they get all the regulations written for this new industry, for the marijuana industry, which we're putting forward, but still ensuring that commercialization of the plant itself and the first sales will begin as scheduled by the initiative. And so it would delay the implementation of regulations just on concentrates for no more than a year to allow the board to complete those regulations if they need more time. So this is not intended to address the, you know, the legal issues as far as updating the statutes and legalizing everything, as that will come before other committees. This is more focused on health concerns that might come up. And if it's the committee's wish, I will go through the sectional, and then if we can answer, I'll answer questions on that.
Thank you. Yes, would you go through the sectional?
Mm-hmm. So in version P, which is the version you just adopted, Section 1 contains legislative intent language, stating that in order to implement the marijuana initiative in an orderly process, the legislature intends to focus first on the growth and sale of marijuana and to delay regulations relating to marijuana concentrates for not more than a year. During the delay period, these activities related to commercial production of marijuana concentrates would remain illegal. Section 2 through 4, which is pages 2 through 4 also, amends the language in AS 1738-07A, B, and C. It clarifies the initiative language slightly and changes the term registration to license. Section 5, this amends, it again replaces registration with license and amends the language as per some of the bill drafters cleanup language. Section 6 would require the board to adopt regulations governing marijuana concentrates. The regulations are required to include at a minimum labeling and packaging requirements, prohibitions on combining marijuana concentrates with nicotine and alcohol, and prohibitions on the sale of concentrates in establishments that sell or serve alcohol. Sections 7 through 11, which is page 5 through 6, are included in the bill for the purpose of amending the word registration to license. Section 12, which is page 6, adds subsection I, which states that a license under AS 17.38 does not authorize a marijuana establishment to manufacture, deliver, possess, or marijuana concentrates or products containing marijuana concentrates. So this would be, this would make it illegal until regulations are in place for marijuana concentrates. Sections 13 through 21, again, these were included because they're amending 17.38.1 110 by replacing registration with license, as well as, again, a little bit of cleanup language from the drafter. But the purpose of those is just to replace registration with license in this case. Section 22, which is page 8, defines marijuana concentrates as a substance created by extracting cannabinoids from marijuana using a solvent other than water for the purpose of increasing the concentration of the cannabinoids. Section 23, again, replaces registration with license in 43.63.030. And section 24, page 8, this repeals the subsection I, which was created on page 6, section 12, effective on the earlier date of November 24th, 2016, or the date the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board completes the regulations required under section 6 of this bill, which would effectively make commercial production of marijuana concentrates legal under the licenses in this statute at the earlier of those dates. And then section 25, page 8, just establishes an immediate effective date for the bill.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee for staff on any of the sections? Yes, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to understand the dates that are here. So the initiative takes effect February 24th, and then for the next 9 months, this bill directs then the ABC board to focus on provisions related to growth and sale, and then for the year following that to focus on the concentrates. So the actual delay is more like a year and 9 months from the date of legalization, not a year.
Correct. It's a delay in the regulate, through the chair, it's a delay in regulations, which the initiative has the date of November 24th, 2015 as the date for all the regulations. So this would be an additional year or earlier if the regulations are completed earlier than that.
And a clarification, it doesn't delay the regulations on growing operations, mm-hmm. processing, mm-hmm. or sales. It just gives the delay of up to a year for those dealing with chemical extraction, manufacture of edible or non-edible products, and for those regulations to be in place. Mm-hmm. So it's not a delay of any regulation under the initiative for the growing, the processing, or the sales. Mm-hmm. But again, back to the intent of the legislation, it is to make sure that we have an orderly process, and whichever board is available can have an orderly process for going through and making sure that we get good, adequate regulations on the first tranche of regulations, instead of having everything having to be done in really only 7 months after the legislature mm-hmm. ends, because the board is going to have it, whichever board or whatever board is going to do the regulation mm-hmm. in the initiative, the default is the ABC board, mm-hmm. Or Alcohol Control Board. Mm-hmm. So that will make sure that those regulations will be in place. Mm-hmm. Representative Stoops.
Thank you. Through the chair, it says here, an act relating to marijuana concentrates, relating to marijuana establishments, and to the licensing of marijuana establishments and providing for an effective date. Well, if this is, I guess I'm a little confused, because if this is for the licensing of marijuana establishments, that tells me that that directly relates to the sale of marijuana, and you just said this would not affect the dates of the sales of marijuana, if I understood you correctly.
Representative Stutz, through the chair. It would affect the dates of sales for marijuana concentrates, but not for any other marijuana products. And should the regulations be completed by the ABC board before that delay period, then marijuana concentrates would also be available for retail sale. And then just as far as the title is concerned, because we requested that the change be made from registration to license, the title needed to be expanded to allow that word change. So that is the most direct relation to the licensing of marijuana establishments, is that we've changed the word from registration to licensing. But I would limit the licenses for marijuana retail establishments from, it would prohibit them from creating or for selling marijuana concentrates until the regulations are in place.
Representative Stutes.
Excuse me. Thank you, through the chair. That's not how I'm reading this, though. I'm reading this to say to the licensing of marijuana establishments. It doesn't say, it says relating to marijuana establishments and the licensee of marijuana establishments. It doesn't say in there specifically marijuana concentrates. It does initially, but this looks to me like it's covering the whole parameters of it as opposed to just the marijuana concentrates.
Right. Representative Stutes, through the chair, we do have Hillary Martin online later for questions. She's the drafter, so she might be able to address why it was necessary to expand it that much. But again, the only changes to the initiative language that are made in this bill are relating to the concentrates specifically and then substituting license for registration.
Okay, thank you.
And just a little further clarification, the term registration is often used as there is something you apply for and you get if you just pay the fee. And the idea of licensing is what's used by the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, in that there are licenses, there are qualifications that you have to have for that licenses, there may be endorsements or provisions within that license, and that's not generally done in a registration.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea here is to make sure that we align the license, like we have a liquor license, we don't have a liquor registration.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this initiative was to regulate marijuana like we do with alcohol, and so getting those things parallel maintains the way within this board and within the structure so that we can go forward. So just because we go to licensing of marijuana establishment, if we didn't change the word from licensing, from registration to licensing, we wouldn't have that in the title. But since we're changing it and actually saying we're going to issue licenses instead of registrations to marijuana establishments, that therefore it has to be in the title that we're making that change. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know in the other committees that have been hearing related legislation, Ms. Franklin has indicated that the ABC board could, you know, move quickly in adopting regulations, and so I just wonder if they've reacted to this legislation about this particular carve-out. And then the second question would be, if we're going to go with the licensing model, which is what the ABC board is using right now, you know, has she gone on record as saying she thinks that's what she envisions? I just haven't been able to keep up with those other hearings, so appreciate that.
Representative Tarr, through the chair, we do have her online to answer questions, so she can give a more in-depth answer to that. In our meet discussions with her, she has also expressed their interest in moving forward as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is more of a safety note. And if you would look at sections 24 and 25, which deal with how the effective dates and how the sections are repealed,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the changes in version P that we made, was to make sure that if the board was ready to move forward, that they were able to move forward, making that the earlier of the two dates. And so should the board be ready, you know, on November 25th of 2015 with regulations dealing with marijuana concentrates, they would have, you know, the ability to put those into place at that time. But as it states in the intent language, the idea is to let them focus on the growing and manufacturing and retail of the plant products to make sure we're not shortchanging those particular regulations and make sure we have that structure in place, and then to move on to the concentrates, which have in other states had more of a health concern when done wrong. There are definitely good processes for them, but there are a lot of regulations needed. Mm-hmm. And so if they are able to move forward in that timeline, they have the full ability to do so. If they find they want a few more months or, you know, up to a year, then they would have that as well.
And Representative Tarr, the reason the year date is in there is so that no one can use this to unnecessarily delay the implementation of concentrate. So, mm-hmm. so this all falls away 1 year after the initial regulations were required under the mm-hmm. Statute. So this isn't just until you do regulations, and if it takes you 2 or 3 years to do regulations, it's not legal. I mean, it would be legal on that date, but you have up until that time to get the regulations promulgated and mm-hmm. in an orderly manner.
Mm-hmm. Rep. Hamble. Yeah, I guess I think you may have answered this question already, but I just want to clarify. So November of 2015 is when the sale of regular, call it vegetative marijuana, is legal. And then you want to postpone another year, up to a year, if needed, as determined sooner by the ABC board or whoever the regulatory agency is at that time. Is there a particular reason, other than what you cite as problems with other states and concentrates, is it something they can't work on concurrently, especially given that we're already talking to these other states that have it legalized and are regulating it and are selling it? Is there a reason that the ABC board or whoever the regulatory agency is couldn't, you know, do them at the same time and then have the same date all at once if they're talking to people that are already working on these issues?
Representative Wolf, through the chair, they definitely have been talking with the other states and have a good idea of where to go, but there are just so many. It's just the regulations are very complex, and we just want to make sure that they have the time to do them in an orderly process, and that we're not losing out on something, you know, testing regulations, packaging regulations, but we want to ensure that the regulations for growing and such of the plant products are in place first, because that's the first step of the entire industry. So we couldn't go the other way.
Further questions from the sponsor? Representative Vasquez.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair. The delay, in essence, as pointed out earlier, would be more than a year. It will be legal as of February 24th of this year. The regulations are going to be issued November 24th, 2015, so this stretches out to November 24th in a year. I can perceive where a court may deem this a real frustration of the initiative, people's initiative, so to speak. I don't think this seems like a long time to justify. I know there's a lot of work to be done. A total of 1 year seems more reasonable. I would need to study the initiative, because I don't think it would be upheld by courts if they think we're totally frustrating the will of the people, regardless of how we individually voted. I mean, we're implementing the will, so.
Thank you. And Representative Vasquez, I understand that the intent here is to make sure we have an orderly process. The regulations for commercial sales, the maximum duration for delay is a year after the commercial sales were established for the vegetative product. So that's a maximum of a year, not from the time it is personally legal, but from the time that the regulations are required to be issued for commercial sales. And there is nothing that doesn't allow the regulatory board to go forward with both sets of regulations at the same time. If they are complicated and complex, and there's a public process, and hopefully it will be a very open and transparent public process, the idea is it will give that process time to work and not be rushed, because I think the worst thing for everything for our new industry would be is if we came out with regulations that were not adequate and we had problems because we were rushing to do all factors of these basically two industries, one industry of growing, processing, and sales of raw product, even though it's processed, and the other is the chemical extraction, infusion, manufacture of other edible or non-edible products. So that's the intent here. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion on those issues, and so I understand that question. Representative Wolf.
Mr. Chair, yeah, you may have answered this already as well. So under this bill, the legal date for sale would be 11/24/16. Would possession...
For sale would be 2015 on... on vegetative.
Right, products. I'm talking about the concentrates. Okay. Between 11 and 20, would the concentrates be illegal? It may be in here and I haven't. To aside from the sale, would the possession of it be illegal?
Representative Wool, through the chair, it is our understanding that this has no effect on personal use. This is dealing with regulations for commercial production and sale.
Follow-up, please.
Follow-up, Representative Wolf.
Do you feel there may be a risk, and it was mentioned before that in other states there have been on incident incendiary accidents. Do you feel that by keeping it unregulated that the risk of an accident may be increased by people trying to do it at home, whereas if it were legal they could purchase it at a legal establishment?
Representative Wolf, through the chair, that is not an issue that we've looked at specifically, but I know it is one that will that has been discussed in other committees. It's an understandable concern. There are other processes for extracting them without, such as the ice bath. You can extract these same substances, not at as high of a concentration, but you can still extract these substances without using butane gas or the other solvents. And our hope is that that would be, you know, the method of approach. But it'll be legal shortly after the plant products are legal, and you know, up to a year, no more. And so to rush regulations on the whole product because of that risk, I think, is something we have to weigh out.
Okay, thank you.
And Representative Wola, I mean, we have had some testimony that there, after it was legal in Colorado, there were 30, the fire chiefs were just talking to me today, there were 30 some butane explosions. Well, that was after it was legal. So, but people were doing things at home, maybe because they didn't want to pay the fees and the tax. So I'm not sure that we have a direct connection between commercial availability and price and what people are going to do. Hopefully, you know, if someone is wanting more concentrated product, they would use the water and ice methods to concentrate the buds, and instead of using something that's very dangerous. But I'm not, we'll have testimony from people, hopefully, that'll give us more insight into that. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One concern I have, and I can appreciate the balance you're trying to strike with this legislation, is that we left the local control component in the initiative. And so right now, municipalities across the state, including Juneau, for example, which just at their local assembly passed something to give themselves 6 months post adjournment of the legislative session to implement their local regulations. And I'm just concerned about sort of a domino effect of these other bodies, you know, sort of waiting on our action. And as we continue to delay our action, then it has the impact of them, pardon me, having to further delay what they do. And at some point, things could just become so difficult that it sort of, you know, makes things fail just because of the disjointedness of this implementation process. So I'm just wondering if the Municipal League or any local government has spoke up or responded to, you know, what this would do to what they have planned.
Representative Tarr, through the chair, I have not heard of any specific response from the municipal associations. We do have support letter from the Alaska Police Officers Association, which I know it's a different issue, but it's definitely a consideration. This wouldn't, however, affect their ability to decide whether or not to have a marijuana retail establishment in their, or a grow operation, or even a processing operation within their city limits.
Mm-hmm.
It would just mean that the license that establishment might have would be expanded when these regulations went into effect, in the manner that the ABC board chooses.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't looked specifically at their proposals, but if they are looking at, you know, whether or not they want an establishment within their city limits, they can still make that decision knowing that these regulations will be put into place at a later date.
Reverend Tarr.
Just a follow-up to that, and I think all of that can be true. I can also imagine, you know, if I were the person in that position, feeling like I'm having to make decisions without all of the information necessary. So I think it has the potential to influence how they want to implement sales in a local area and what restrictions they might want to put on it. And there might be some interest in just getting through the process, establishing, you know, what the boundaries are going to be, and then, you know, trying to work on that. And so I just think this has just, there's some careful consideration to be done here as to how those things would interweave and what it might cause for the folks at the local level, if they, but even just on the revenue side of things, you know, if they're considering local taxation options, then, you know, you sort of have to weigh what the full impact is going to be, but you wouldn't really be able to because you'd be waiting to see what the state says. And, you know, depending on how restrictive the regulations end up being, it may sort of make it not a feasible option, or, you know, it just could just change the outlook, and I just think that may present some hurdles. excuse me.
And Representative Tarr, you know, I agree this is a very complex mm-hmm. issue, and there are very different products, and that's one of the things that are, you know, that we're going to have to wait on, probably, mm-hmm. whether we're talking about edibles, or whether we're talking about salves, or whether we're talking about infused toothpicks, or whether we're talking about patches, or what. I mean, there's a lot of ramifications on the, after you take the chemical extraction concentration, and then what you are able to do, and what products you were able to make, mm-hmm. And how those are going to be, saying consumed, though all of these products may not be edibles at all. So there's a lot of ramifications mm-hmm. there, as well as with the commercialization of the plant product. So
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm in no way saying that we've solved all the problems here. What we're trying to do is say that there are a lot of complex issues
mm-hmm.
depending upon what the product lines are, how they're how cannabinoids are acquired, ingested, put on, or utilized. And so they are complex regulations. And so we just want to make sure in this bill that the growing, processing, and retail sales of the plant product are at least come first, and we get very good regulations coming forward. But again, if it turns out the board is able to do these jointly and come out with one set of regulations, it's just that they can't delay that second set, and we're wanting them to focus on the growing and processing and retail sales of plant product first. And that's not on the local community, that's on the regulatory board. Further questions of the sponsor? I would point out that one of the additions in P is on section 24 on the labeling and packaging requirements. We're not trying to get into the details of establishing what those labeling and packaging requirements are in this bill. We think that a regulatory board is more appropriate for doing those details. But we do on page 5 prohibit the sale of marijuana. On page 4 it prohibits the combining of concentrates with nicotine and alcohol. And that is in here for the purpose of health and social services, where my hope is that as this product is available, there when people are self-medicating with alcohol, that we will have a switch from self-medicating with alcohol, which has a lot of consequences, to self-medicating with marijuana. But it wouldn't be unreasonable to have people go into, especially if they've been self-medicating and they're alcoholic, to go into alcohol establishments to purchase their product or have alcohol mixed with THC. And rely on that. That's the same as with nicotine. Nicotine is very physically addictive, and so the idea here is to make sure that we don't have an industry come forward with something that may be more a psychological dependence, and then mixing that with nicotine to create a physical dependency as well. And I would say that would be a little far out, except that we passed a bill 3 years ago, I think, in this body, prohibiting the giving of nicotine to minors, because we had tobacco companies that were actually producing on test marketing in 4 states nicotine-laced toothpicks and breast strips and several other products, and we wanted to make sure that we didn't have a mechanism here that was going to be forming an addictive product other than would be there without nicotine or alcohol. So that's the purpose for those provisions in there, and the provision on page 6 requiring that the you wouldn't have the that's on page 5, sorry, the top of page 5, line 1, prohibition of sale of marijuana concentrates in establishments that sell or serve alcohol, again, so that we don't have people going in for marijuana and being subject to all around them to something they're addicted to. And so that's looking at the, from the Hess standpoint. So we have Representative Wool and then Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify that point, prohibitions on combining marijuana concentrates with nicotine or alcohol, that talks about the actual product itself. The product would be combining those things in sort of a cocktail, so to speak, correct?
That's correct.
And then the next line, prohibitions on the sale of marijuana concentrates in establishments that sell or serve alcohol. So if it were, and it hasn't been determined who's going to sell alcohol yet, as far as I know, but if a liquor store were licensed, you're saying that this would prohibit a liquor store, a package store, from selling. Currently, they can sell, for example, cigarettes, nicotine, and alcohol, and chips, but the marijuana would not be on their shelf. There would be a separate establishment for that.
Representative Wohl, that's the intent of that line, yes, that marijuana would be sold, marijuana concentrates anyway, products would be sold at separate venues from those that are selling alcohol.
Okay, and a follow-up. So,
Representative Wohl.
That would, I don't, and again, I haven't been following all the other hearings. Is this, as far as where people would be able to purchase, and I guess it hasn't been determined, but I guess you're trying to determine, as far as the concentrates, separate from the vegetative marijuana. So it could be, in theory, that the controlling board says a package store or a liquor store could sell alcohol, nicotine, and marijuana leaf, but this bill would prohibit the concentrate from being sold at that same establishment, correct?
And Representative Wohl, this bill was dealing with concentrates.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think that this would give a very good indication to the board of what we're trying to do for health and social issues, whether, you know, and this is before the committee for, you know, consideration and discussion, but I think this is something that we need to discuss, and that's why it's in this version. I'm sure we'll have a lot of public testimony on this. And that's why I wanted to make sure that we looked at Section 6 there, because looking at nicotine, alcohol, and marijuana concentrates, that is one of the health and social service aspects of this product and the packaging, labeling, selling of the product. And so I hope that we have full discussion of this, however that comes out. So, Representative Stutz.
Thank you, through the chair. Would your intent be then not to allow usage of marijuana in an establishment that sells alcohol?
Representative Stutz, we're not even dealing in this bill with usage. I'm not sure what's going to happen as far as if it's a public establishment and you can't use it in public. And so if you had a public venue, it's illegal to use that in that public space anyway under the initiative. So we weren't really addressing usage here. We were addressing the other, but it's a good thing to have a discussion on, and I'm not adverse to having that discussion, but I don't have anything in this that is addressing that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll save my question until it's appropriate, but it'll be back.
Are there further questions? Seeing no further questions, thank you, Tanika, for coming forward and introducing the bill. And now we have public testimony that we're going to go to.
I'm missing like 3 pages.
And let's take just a brief at ease.
Okay.
We'll come back to order, and so I will open public testimony on HB 59. And first person that signed in was Rachel Young. Or Yoon, I'm not sure the pronunciation. Are you online?
Yes, I am, Chairman Seaton. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and proceed with your testimony?
Of course, Chairman. Thank you. Chairman Seaton and members of the House Health and Social Services Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today. My name is Rochelle Young, and I'm a legislative analyst for the Marijuana Policy Project. My name, for the record, is spelled R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, last name Young, Y-E-U-N-G. The Marijuana Policy Project is a national nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., and we've been working with and supporting local activists in Alaska for many years. We served as legal and policy counsel for the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol in support of ballot measure 2 last election season. Dr. Tim Hinterberger, chairman of the campaign, sends his apologies this afternoon. He had planned on testifying himself on behalf of the campaign to regulate marijuana, but was unfortunately unable to due to his schedule as a med school professor. Dr. Hinterberger personally requested that I speak on his behalf today and discuss with you the concerns of the campaign. I believe you have already received and perhaps reviewed a memo outlining Dr. Hinterberger's position, which I'm happy to go over with you right now, just a review of the major provisions, and happy to answer any questions you may have. So to begin with, our primary concern with HB 59 and all of this feedback we provide with the recognition that the intent of the bill was for thoughtful and deliberate rulemaking, and we understand that this is a commendable goal. Nevertheless, we have confidence in the ability of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board to adequately undertake the mandate handed to them by the voters under Measure 2 while abiding by the timeline in that initiative. As has been stated already during this hearing, Cynthia Franklin, the director of the ABC board, has already begun research on this matter and seems willing and able to abide by the deadlines imposed by Measure 2. Overall, our concern is that delaying even a portion of the implementation of this initiative would contradict the will of the voters. I believe Representative Vasquez brought up the specific concern as a frustration of the initiative. Concentrates are included under the definition of marijuana in Measure 2, and the manufacturer, sales, and possession of such products should be treated with parity. It's our position that HB 59, as currently drafted, would be unconstitutional. Again, the initiative makes clear that the state has no later than 9 months after the effective date to craft regulations to implement this law. Again, this law applies to all parts of marijuana, and again, under Measure 2, the definition of marijuana does include marijuana concentrates. Thus, as currently drafted, HB 59 fundamentally alters the timeline for implementation that was approved by the voters of Alaska.
Thank you. Do you have further testimony?
Yes, just other than the point about the concerns of this bill being unconstitutional due to altering the timeline, another point that we would like to make is that marijuana concentrates do currently exist in Alaska today, and they will continue to exist even if HB 59 were enacted in its current form. HB 59 would simply ensure that control over the sales and production of such concentrates remain in the hands of the black market and criminals for an extra year. The longer such products are prohibited in the legal market by licensed, accountable businesses, the longer criminals will profit from their manufacturing sale. As I believe Representative Wohl has already pointed out, this would increase the risk of explosions or other incidents by unlicensed businesses in the interim, because those criminal enterprises won't have the same equipment, specialization, and safeguards that a licensed, accountable business would.
Thank you. Are there questions for Ms. Young? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Young, I'm just wondering, you were involved in the passing of the initiative, and does your organization, you know, participate through implementation? Does your organization engage in lawsuits if you think that the law is not being implemented properly? do you stick around when there are problems after implementation? What kind of longevity do you envision your organization having with us here in Alaska?
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Through the chair, we do envision continuing to assist the Alaska campaign specifically throughout the process of implementation. Our role in various states in which we support activists really depends on the needs of those activists, and we have been asked by the campaign to assist them in the entire implementation process. Regarding your specific question of lawsuits, I personally have never been involved in one, and we really hope that it does not come to that at all in the state of Alaska. But should this bill or any other bill that passes through the legislature fundamentally violate the intent of the voters under Measure 2, you know, that may be an option that has to be considered, but we do not want to have to engage in that if possible. If we can do this through discussion and dialogue with the legislative members.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next is Cynthia Franklin. Are you online? And would you identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the Alaska Social Service Committee, for having me today. I have reviewed the bill, and I certainly understand the motivation behind it. We certainly did find, as we went to Colorado, that many of the issues that Colorado had in implementing recreational marijuana were around the edible products. I do have some issues with the bill as written. A couple of them are that I'm not satisfied that the definition of concentrates in this bill raises more questions than it solves, because the methodology that we observed in making marijuana concentrates immediately brings up questions when I look at this definition. I do believe that whether it's the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board or a Marijuana Control Board, that we were capable of getting rules in place around concentrates in the timeframes set forth in the initiative. But I do understand the spirit of this bill in the sense that if we ran into problems, that it would permit us to go past the timelines. I question whether the intent behind the bill is to create some type of separate license for concentrates, and I only say that because with the definition of concentrates not separated out in AS 1738, with concentrates being part of the more general definition of marijuana, there does not appear to me to be an anticipation that there would be any kind of a separate edibles license. And that's not something that we are seeing either in Colorado or Washington, particularly in Alaska's rural communities, with transportation being an issue due to the federal prohibition of marijuana. There is a strong possibility that if there are going to be any licenses issued in our offered areas here in Alaska, that many of these individuals will be sort of a one, you know, might have limited licenses in terms of cultivation and retail sales, but adding in another type of licensing for concentrates might represent an unnecessary complication of the regulation. So that's certainly something for the committee to consider. The other issue that I have with Section 6 was it appeared to me in the draft I have, and this may have been fixed, but in the draft I have, it appeared that these prohibitions against combining the marijuana concentrates with nicotine and tobacco, or against having marijuana concentrates in on a premises with alcohol, that those were not formatted as prohibitions from the legislature. as the legislature certainly have the right to prohibit those, and again, you're bound by the voters' initiative, but I'm not really in a position to tell you not to prohibit those, but the way that it was originally written in the draft I read was it ordered the agency to write regulations prohibiting those things. And I think that is a problematic drafting, that if the legislature chooses to prohibit the combination of marijuana concentrates with nicotine or other substances, or chooses to prohibit marijuana concentrates being sold in the same establishment as alcohol, that would be your purview, but it's not really, it's a kind of a, the way it was written, it was sort of passing the responsibility to prohibit that, and so go up that prohibits this, and so I had a little bit of an issue with the way those two prohibitions were drafted. I think it's important that if the legislature is choosing to prohibit activity around marijuana, that it be very clear that it is the legislature that is choosing to prohibit it, not ordering a state agency to prohibit it. So those were some of the early issues that I had, and again, those may have been fixed in drafting. I do appreciate that the later draft did allow for the timeline to be shortened if the regulations were in place. I am an eternal optimist. I truly believe that we can do this. We can enact the will of the people in the timeline that they've asked us to do it. So overall, I'm very optimistic. We have a lot of ideas about edibles, edible products, tinctures and salves, some of the products that we sell in Colorado that were derived from marijuana concentrates. And I believe that many of the issues that the legislators and public are seeing coming out of Colorado are issues that arose from Colorado's specific situation where they have marijuana, where they have medical marijuana dispensaries who were dispensing products with high potency marijuana products to medical marijuana consumers who had high tolerances for the substance. And then when they overlaid a retail or recreational marijuana market on top of those medical consumers, you had a completely different set of people suddenly using these edible products. And so what we saw and learned in Colorado was that many of the issues around concentrates and edibles came out of that specific situation. The good news is that Alaska does not have that situation. We do not have medical marijuana dispensaries. We certainly probably have individuals in Alaska who have high tolerances for marijuana, but in terms of rolling out rules around these edible products, number one, and we can certainly learn from Colorado, and number two, we have the advantage of starting from scratch, and we really did learn when we visited there that is truly an advantage here in Alaska. We get to make up the rules before the market is created. We're not chasing the market down with rules, and so being able to have those in place before the licenses are issued is key, and that is why I appreciate HB 59 in the spirit in which it is intended, which is to make sure that we have good rules in place before these products are rolled out. However, in the end, I think that we can do it on the original timeline, but I certainly hope to surprise everyone who thinks we can't. So I'll end there and take questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, thank you. And Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for Ms. Franklin. Excuse me if I didn't hear it, but are you representing a certain agency or organization?
Oh, I apologize for not including that. My name is Cynthia Franklin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, which is the agency named in AS 1738 as the board, that's the board and agency responsible for implementation of the rules around the commercial marijuana operations.
Thank you.
Reverend Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Franklin, so I just want to be clear then, your position is that the ABC board thinks they can implement all necessary regulations within the allotted time frame?
Through the chair, yes.
Thank you. And then just a follow-up?
Reverend Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just the way the original bill draft had registration instead of license, but now the new draft has license, and that's the same model that you use for alcohol licenses, does that seem like the way you would want to move forward? Is that the appropriate model to use?
Through the chair, yes. We've requested that. I know others had as well. The liquor licenses are called licenses. I realize that there's some language in the initiative about Measure 2 in the 1738 that refers to registrations, but liquor licenses are a privilege, not a right, and the term registration does not sync with the work that we do on that substance. So regarding the ABC's work on this substance, we fully anticipate any permissions that are issued by the board to handle the substance to be in the form of licenses.
Reverend Starr.
Thank you. And so just to follow with that, then the same way the alcohol licenses are issued now, where it's a per population size allotment, you have to take on individual requests when there are new entrants, and how they, are sold between owners. So kind of all of that system that exists now, you envision mirroring that for the marijuana establishments?
Through the chair, Representative Starr, not necessarily. Of course, those rules remain yet to be written. Those are the rules to be written between February 24th and November 24th. We have had some conversations, and I did testify in the Senate State Affairs this morning that the transferability of licenses is definitely a question. We have had experience over the years with liquor licenses where that secondary market value of liquor licenses has caused many issues regarding liquor licensing, and perhaps a public view for that is not reflected if there is a different method of license selection chosen other than the population-based method. So the population-based method would, starting from zero licenses, would introduce the possibility of quite a few licenses into Alaska. Other states in licensing marijuana establishments have gone with different methods. Nevada has perfected a fairly rigorous high standards merit selection process without limits, and those are questions that the board will face as it moves forward in the regulations, is what type of license selection process are we going to have? Are these licenses going to be transferable or not transferable? I think that what we've done in liquor licensing will inform us, but we're not going to have any kind of a knee-jerk mirroring of liquor licensing. We're not going to be approaching this from a point of view of this is what we do with alcohol, so therefore this is what we're going to do with marijuana. It's not a situation of evaluating both its substance, the way that it's cultivated and processed and sold in these states where it's being done legally, and then looking at the issues that have been raised by virtue of our system of liquor licensing and trying to find the best possible path forward, which could include a different type of license selection process and a non-transferability of licenses.
Thank you.
And Cynthia, do you have a you feel that you have the ability to design those licenses outside of statute? Just the board can make the selection of whether they want them transferable or non-transferable, or all those things are currently in the purview of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board?
Purview of that regulatory regulation writing process. So the you know, the regulation writing process is set forth in Title 44, and it is a public process. There's an opportunity for public input. So what I would anticipate is the board wrestling with those decisions, and then at the point in time where the timeline and the initiative is the board approves and adopts the regulations, by that point in time, and that public process would have happened. So I don't anticipate the board unilaterally making those decisions, but rather I do think that, you know, the question has come up multiple times during the session of what jobs are the legislators, what jobs are the regulators, and generally speaking, certainly if you comb through AS 1738, the ballot measure, you will not find much authority given to the board beyond making the rules. So I certainly think that one of the legislature's jobs is to determine if it's going to be the ABC board or a marijuana control board, and then outline the authority that the board has. And in outlining the authority that the board has, the legislature is going to decide where it wants to make the rules and make, you know, right amendments to this statute that further define it for the rulemaking process. But many of these decisions about types of licenses, transferability of licenses, many of those decisions, from our perspective, are appropriate for the regulation-making process because, number one, it is a public process, and number two, if those turn out to be decisions that need to be tweaked, that regulation process is easier to get in there. I mean, I am an optimist, but I'm not so much an optimist that I think we're necessarily going to get it all perfect the first time around. Certainly we saw that Colorado did not. So we're going to do our absolute best, but if we made a rule that needed to be changed, that regulation process is certainly easier to change a regulation than a statute. So that, I believe, needs to be a consideration for this legislature in terms of how deep they want to go into getting down and into the details of how you know, what types of licenses are going to be available, how they're issued, how licensees are selected, all of those details. Certainly those are included in the 9 sections that the ballot measure affords to the ABC board for rulemaking through the regulations process.
Thank you. Further questions? I had a question on the idea that basically you're talking about one license is going to cover everything, or at least it's not going to segregate chemical extraction, infusion from retail sales or from cultivation. Is that what I'm understanding, if you're not going to have separate license designations for those two functions? That is extraction industry, infusion, manufacturing of products versus the growing, processing, and sale of the vegetative product.
Mr. Chair, I think that we anticipated that just as the direction that Oregon was heading in and the direction that we felt we were heading in was to have, several tiers of licenses, and again, that would be similar to what we have in alcohol. Certainly a cultivation or growing license is appropriate, a retail sales license is appropriate, and some type of processor's license is appropriate. What we did not anticipate was carving out marijuana concentrates in terms of issuing one type of license and then having to come back at a different point in time and issuing an endorsement or some other type of license to enable the same processor to now handle a concentrate. So I do anticipate that there will be different types of licenses in other states. when one business can hold more than one type of license. We visited a company that owned a cultivation facility and then in a separate location, a retail and medical marijuana dispensary. So they have multiple licenses, both from the state of Colorado and the city of Denver. And so when I talked about stacking of licenses, that's sort of what I was referring to. But what I guess the point I was making was that I hesitate at the concept of separating out marijuana concentrates and creating a different licensing category just for that. And the only reason I hesitate on that is not because they're different. The concentrates are different from the plant flower bud sales, but because the definition of marijuana in the initiative really includes the entire plant and includes concentrates. So I do anticipate that you would need a different type of license to process marijuana than to grow it. And there might be some rural areas where someone, or maybe even urban areas where someone might hold both types of licenses. Again, it's somewhat speculative because the rules haven't been written, but obviously we're having to think about it every day.
Thank you. Representative Carr?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering, based on the public meetings that have taken place, there seems to be some confusion among the members of the public, myself included, as to how this is all going to evolve, what will be legal, what will be illegal, what an individual can do, what requires a license. And I'm just wondering, are you envisioning, as you draft regulations, beyond the traditional public process, having any additional public meetings or trying to work with local assemblies to really make sure that that we get a lot of feedback from Alaskans and they understand, you know, kind of every step of the way what's happening and how they might be impacted?
Through the chair, yes. We have initiated on our website a frequently asked questions page and a form that members of the public can sign up for, and they can put their email in that form. And then they are notified both when we update the frequently asked questions. If we add a question and answer that they have not seen yet, they'll get an email that says there's new information there. And then also they will receive an email when the time comes for that public part of the regulatory process. In addition, my staff and I have already begun educating at, obviously we're talking to people every day. One of the many advantages that Alaska has is that we are a small state, and we have public officials who pick up their phone when it rings, and then city officials call. I try, and my staff tries as well, to get me those calls to really speak with them. We're going to be an Alaska Municipal League legislative meeting conference in a couple of weeks in Juneau, where I'm going to meet with municipal officials at that conference. And there were many local governments who sent individuals to the conference in Colorado, so we were able to have a lot of interaction with them there. I also get calls and emails daily from members of the public, interested people in people who are interested in starting marijuana businesses, and we're doing the best that we can to keep up with them. So that being said, we are a relatively small agency. We only have 10 employees statewide regulating alcohol, and so we are challenged in our small stature in answering all of the questions. I do think there is a possibility that public meetings will be held, and I'm trying to show up wherever I can to answer questions as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Franklin, you mentioned licensing and cultivation, processing, retail. I'm sure there's been discussion of on-premise licensing, and if so, what other states have, how they've dealt with that, and I'm sure it's all still in the works, and I'm sure you guys are working overtime on all this stuff, but I'm just wondering if there's any thought on that one.
Thank you, Representative, through the chair. Are you talking about consumption of marijuana on the rising premise?
Yeah, similar to alcohol, where you have wholesale, retail, and on-premise.
Well, you know, initially, our thoughts were that given that the interaction between the way that this product is used under a lot of circumstances, which is to smoke it, and given the interaction between smoking and smoking rules in a lot of places that are what I would call semi-public places, but places that the public is invited to, that they're privately owned businesses, that it would be difficult to establish the marijuana smoking premises. And I believe that is something that will happen eventually, whether those are licenses that are issued in the first round at the first attempt, but certainly nothing that's specifically mentioned in AS 1738. In fact, the only mention of consuming the substance other than, you know, the legalization of possession by individuals in 1738 or 2 is 1738-040, which is a prohibition against consumption in public. The definition of public in that section is something that I expect that the board is going to want to address on February 24th and intends to address on February 24th. But those consumption of marijuana with others in a place where the public is invited is a larger question that is not specifically addressed in the initiative and which may not be licensed in this first round, to be frank.
Okay, thank you.
Are there further questions? Yep, Representative Vasquez.
How many states have legalized marijuana like Colorado and Washington?
Through the chair, there are four. There's Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and Oregon. When we were in Colorado, we had the chance to meet close up with the Colorado regulators in a very small group called the CRMS, which is the Coalition of Legalized Marijuana States. So that is a group of those four states. And my team and I, who were there in Colorado, were there with four members of the regulatory team from Oregon. So we had a very amazing couple of days sitting down with the Colorado regulators and comparing notes. And that is really the section of that week in Colorado that I came away from feeling that Alaska is very lucky indeed, because we don't have many of the problems and issues that Colorado had. And Oregon is often in a different direction. Oregon is a centralized state-controlled state, so they don't have any local options or local control under their marijuana initiative. So we are really breaking new ground here in the sense that we are going to be the first state to write these rules around legalized marijuana operations that is coming from zero, because we have, as of this date, zero legalized marijuana operations.
Representative Vasquez?
Have any of the other states issued regulations on marijuana concentrates?
Mr. Chair, Representative Vasquez, yes. The rules in Colorado around concentrates started out in one way, and what happened is about halfway through their first year of legalization, which is 2013, they experienced some fairly alarming results that caused them to regroup and rewrite those rules around edible products, which edible products use the concentrate. So when we talk about marijuana concentrates, there are many products in a retail marijuana store that use marijuana concentrates, and some of them have needed more rules than others. So the edibles will need the most rules, which I believe is the motivation behind Representative Seaton's bill. Edibles need the most rules because eating a product that contains marijuana. It's not a new way to consume it. A lot of people have made it, made, you know, homemade products with marijuana over the years, but it's new in a retail setting, and so those rules are very important to define a serving size, to make a manufacturer or processor certify what level of THC is in each serving, so that consumers who buy the products have a good understanding of what they're eating and what effects it might have on them, and so that they can more closely control the effects that the edible products have. Other marijuana concentrate products are more straightforward than edibles because they're not necessarily going through your stomach. They're going into your system in different ways. A tincture comes to mind. We saw those in Colorado stores, and those are more like homeopathic drops. They're sold in a glass bottle with a dropper, and you drop a drop under your tongue, and so that delivery system into your physical system, it takes effect faster. You're able to feel the effects faster. They're not as delayed as with the edibles, and so people tend to get it right more often. And the issue, one of the issues with the edibles is that there's a delayed effect, and so what did happen in Colorado was that people were eating these edibles, they had a lot of marijuana in them because they were designed for medical marijuana patients. They were not medical marijuana patients, they did not have high tolerances, and they didn't think that the product was doing anything, was having the desired effect, so they ate a little more, and then by the time that it hit them, they had very uncomfortable effects, very uncomfortable after they really felt out of control. And so would report to a hospital emergency room, which is where Colorado got put on notice that they needed to rewrite those rules and get those edibles under control. Now, when we were there in January, the deadline was coming up to have all of the higher strength edibles off of the shelves, and to have the new lower concentrate products only sold in retail stores, and that day was February 1st. So starting on February 1st, Colorado retailers are unable to sell any product that contains more than 100 milligrams of THC, and in within those packages, they have to be broken up into 10 milligram serving sizes. But in the conversation that they had around writing those serving size rules, the 5 milligram serving size and a 50 milligram maximum package was discussed, and that is certainly something here in Alaska that we are looking at. What is the appropriate serving size, and where are we going to start with these edibles? So as I said, we've done a lot of work on that, a lot of study, and we feel confident that we have a good handle on, they have a campaign of this. It's called Start Low, Go Slow. So start with a low amount of THC and go very slow and make sure that you know how that substance is affecting you before you have any more. So, you know, when we think about people drinking alcohol, there are a lot of things that we know about the way alcohol affects our system. And so people who have a drink, generally speaking, if they're over 21 and they have any experience, they're aware of what that alcohol is going to do to them. But we see the same effect in young people who are drinking for the first time. They don't know what the alcohol is going to do to them, and they drink too much, too fast, and they have a bad experience. So we believe that the key is getting the rules in place, getting them right, and we won't have to go through what Colorado did because they won't do it for us.
Okay, thank you. I had a question on your kind of your vision. I know you're not speaking for the whole board right now, but if you have one license and we're talking about local options, basically local communities aren't going to be able to select to have marijuana vegetative product versus edibles, or have a grow operation and processing and vegetative products. They will, the license, as I'm understanding, is going to say basically everything retail that can be sold is then permitted to be sold in the area. Is that what your vision is on the one retail license, is that anything containing THC is then available to be sold at that premises?
Mr. Chair, that's certainly the way it looks in Colorado. The shops that are licensed to sell retail marijuana can sell retail marijuana in any form. Whether or not that is the model that we go with is, as you say, up for debate, and I certainly don't speak for the entire board. However, I do think that, regarding the processing of the edibles, there are going to be more rules around that than there are around the processing of the leaves, not only in the serving sizes, packaging, and labeling of those edibles, but also in food safety regulations. And we've been working very closely with our partners at the Department of Environmental Conservation, who have the food safety team. And so the food aspect of those edibles, the best way for me to put it is, the local governing bodies are still going to be able to require that everything that's sold in that store is approved marijuana that's been approved through all of the regulatory channels, including ticking all the boxes of whether it's the Department of Environmental Conservation, whether it's the fire marshal, whoever needs to approve the process by which that product got to the shelves and is available to be sold, is going to all have to have been through that process. But no, the shops in Colorado, there is no distinction between the bud and the leaves and any of the other products containing marijuana. So the licenses for retail sale apply to all products containing marijuana.
And I understand that is the case in Colorado. I'm not sure with the local option that we've included, or those varieties of local option, that single license form is going to work well with all local communities here. So that's something to discuss. I appreciate that. One other thing that came up in Community and Regional Affairs this morning was testimony from one of the other members of the committee that there have been instances of marijuana combined with other drugs. In this bill, we are talking about nicotine and alcohol in combination. Are there other restrictions that the ABC board would be looking at as far as not allowing THC to be combined with other drugs in deliveries, or is that something you haven't considered?
So, Chair, that's not something that we have considered yet. However, we do anticipate having testing requirements, and this is a difficult area to discuss because, the immediate question that comes to mind is, well, who's going to test it? And we really are going to have to rely on labs to somewhat magically appear, but there will have to be some testing of the substance. And the other thing to remember is that there is the technology to track these plants from the time they are born, essentially. In Colorado, they tag them when they're 8 inches tall, individual plants, and use an RFID tagging system to track that plant all the way to the point of sale. So, in terms of the plant itself and the bud, I see little chance of it being contaminated or combined with other other drugs because it's quite recognizable in its bud form. In terms of putting a marijuana concentrate in a food product with other drugs, again, that is where we would rely on the testing and the lab testing and the licensee not to contaminate or adulterate their products with other drugs and the food safety step as well. So I was at that hearing and I did hear that comment that I was not aware of or have not read about this being a major problem in the legalized states.
Okay, thank you, and appreciate you checking up on that because that did come from one of the members that apparently had significant input from his community. Representative Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one public health matters. I know because of social media, when implementation was first happening in Colorado, you know, there were a couple of reports that got reported that were found to be untrue, that were reports of adverse health reactions. And I'm just wondering, you know, the stories we were hearing, were they happening at a frequency that it really was a because if they implemented, you know, even an infrequent event received a lot of attention? And, you know, not that any public health thing should be disregarded, but just, you know, from our perspective, the number of incidents, did it, you know, kind of reach that bar where it was a real public health concern?
Well, thank you, Representative Starr, through the chair. Yeah, we actually were able to speak with some doctors at Children's Hospital in Colorado, and while I don't know the numbers on the number of adults who had a bad trip, for want of a better term, that led to the publicity around the rule changes in Colorado on edibles, I do know the numbers for the children, and so it's very interesting because it, as in all things, is a statistic that depends how you report it. So if you write it out on a chart, it looks like this alarming spike in children reporting to the emergency room with marijuana overdose or poisoning or whatever term you want to use. But the actual numbers were that number went from zero to 14 over a three-year period. So the actual number of children reporting, according to the doctors who spoke with us, was a very, very small number. Many, many more children reporting to the emergency room with poisoning from ibuprofen, household chemicals, their parents' prescription drugs, other things that are available in any household to poison a child. But there was a lot of attention focused on Colorado, and to some extent, sometimes when you hear those numbers reported, you hear them reported in terms of there was a 600% increase in child poisoning from marijuana, for example. And while that might be an accurate number, it doesn't reflect a very low number of actual children who have that issue.
Thank you.
Reverend Bull.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know there's been a lot of talk about Colorado and Washington and such. Has anyone looked into Amsterdam or the Netherlands, which have had legal sale of marijuana for quite some time now, and how they're dealing with it from licensing and all that? I don't know. I've never heard that in discussion. I just forgot to ask you right now.
Representative through the chair, yes. We've looked at the rules from afar. I have not been able to visit Amsterdam. our agency has not received a supplemental budget or any budget for this for regulating this substance. And as I stated earlier, we are a small agency on a carnivore shoestring budget. So I don't anticipate a trip there, but I do recognize that they've had rules in place for quite a while, and unfortunately, just because of the differences in the rulemaking process, we haven't been able to glean as much from what they've done as we have from other states in the U.S.
Thank you.
Seeing Representative Vasquez, did you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And I apologize if I didn't get this clearly, but did Washington or Oregon also issue regulations on marijuana concentrates?
Representative Vasquez, through the chair, I'm not aware of either Washington or Colorado having separated concentrates out from the definition of marijuana. The definition of marijuana in our ballot measure is very similar to the definition of marijuana in those states. And so when you're talking about separating it out in the sense that they had a separate time up for those rules, I'm not aware of that. However, as I previously stated, well, Colorado sent those rules through on the same timeline, and those were the first rules that they had to revisit and change. We now have the benefit of the revised Colorado rules, the sort of the new, better, and new and improved version of those rules. So we're at a distinct advantage over where Colorado was when they were literally starting from scratch.
Follow-up, Representative Vasquez?
And I guess for my edification, do all concentrates?
Representative Vasquez, through the chair, yes. If you chop up the marijuana bud or leaf and bake it into a brownie, you get no effect from the marijuana, no THC effect, which is the effect that is the desired effect in the edible product. So the THC is how it has to be heated in an oil, or as Representative Sutton referred to earlier, stripped off in a solvent. So there is a section of the marijuana plant, microscopically you can see them there, called the trichomes, and they're glands, essentially, that contain a higher concentration of THC. So for the THC effect, these glands are desirable, and there are a couple of ways to get that THC out. One is to, you can take a leaf stem or a flower and simmer it in butter or coconut oil for about 15 hours, strain it out, and make your edible product with that butter or oil, and you're going to have a THC effect. The longer you simmer it, the higher concentrations of THC you're going to get. But you can also strip those glands, those trichomes, out and get that marijuana concentrate out of the plant through the use of those multiple means, some of which are chemical, CO2 extraction, butane extraction, or, as Representative Seaton mentioned earlier, ice water hash, where you essentially freeze those trichomes off, freeze the material off of the plant to isolate those trichomes. So we did not see butane extraction when we were in Colorado, but we did see ice water hash being made, and we did see a facility that uses a CO2 extraction method. And in licensed facilities in these states, these extraction methods are regulated in what's called a closed loop system. So in other words, those are very safe places to make those products, just as any other licensed facility that's handling a flammable or dangerous product. They have a lot of safety gear and equipment in place, and have all of the tools necessary to be able to use that extraction process in a safe manner. The explosions from the butane extractions are in homes where people have bought marijuana or obtained marijuana illegally, and then gone onto YouTube and watched a video about how to make your own, and tried that and messed it up and blew up their house.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no other questions from the committee, we'll go now to Ruth Schulte. Are you online?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Would you identify yourself and who you represent for the record, and go ahead with your testimony?
Yes, Chairman Seaton. My name is Bruce Schulte. I'm a spokesperson for the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. And I'd like to thank the chairman and the members for inviting me here today to speak. I did provide a short two-page written summary of our review of HB 59, so I won't bore you with reading it verbatim, but I did just want to touch on the key points here.
And Mr. Schulte, I just want to let you know that the committee does have that document.
Okay, sure. Then I'll be ever so brief then. We respectfully disagree with the sponsor's statement where it asserts that the regulation of concentrates is overly complex and should therefore be delayed. As we've heard from Ms. Franklin, we concur with her belief that, you know, these regulations could be achieved and finalized in the time frame specified in the ballot measure. Just on a side note, I've spoken with Ms. Franklin a number of times. Very knowledgeable on the subject even then, and that was 3 months ago. To my second point, the bill seeks to redefine marijuana and its derivatives the leaf and products separate from the concentrates. We believe that ballot measure 2 is very clear in articulating what products were under consideration. We believe that that's what the voters closed the poll. Therefore, we believe that that portion of the initiative would be contrary to the letter and the intent of the voter initiative. To my third point, I think this is the crucial one. It's easy in these discussions to overlook the fact that we are talking about an agricultural product, which is very important in this case. Each plant produces a portion of material that has a direct market. That would be the flowers that Ms. Franklin referred to. But there's a significant portion of byproducts, often referred to as trim. That would be stray leaves, mainly leaves and smaller flowers that occur on the plant. And those can represent 30 to 50% of the total volume of product harvested from the plant. That is the portion of the plant that from which concentrates and edibles are created. So there's a very significant secondary market from the grower to the downstream processors. If we delay portions of this industry by 1 year, if the edibles and concentrates are delayed by 1 year, essentially what that's going to do is force the growers, the farmers, if you will, to destroy 30 to 50% of their crop. That will have the effect of making the industry virtually untenable on economic grounds. And we believe that alone, I'm quoting here from the ballot initiative, where it states that such regulations shall not prohibit the operation of marijuana establishments, either expressly or through regulations that make their operation unreasonably impracticable. And it's our contention that forcing the growers to destroy 30 to 50% of their crop with no compensation would do just that. And therefore, we feel that this is a significant contravention of the voter initiative. I won't read the rest of this, but that is our main concern here. And, you know, there's just no way around it. I mean, it is an agricultural product. The flowers have direct marketability. The rest of the plant only in the secondary product, and it's just not economically viable. Growing in Alaska, Alaska marijuana is renowned for its quality, and part of that reason is that much of it is grown indoors under very controlled circumstances, but also very expensive circumstances. There's lighting, there's air conditioning, you know, heating and cooling, and there's a tremendous amount of expense that goes into that. So at the end of the day, to harvest a plant and have to throw away a huge proportion of it is economically just unviable. So we feel that this initiative would, while we appreciate the intent of portions of this bill, we do feel that this would have the effect of virtually killing the industry in its infancy. That's pretty much all my prepared comments. I'm available for any questions if there are any.
Are there questions from Mr. Schulte? I guess sure. I just have a question. Does that mean that the marijuana industry has been economically unviable in Alaska before because we haven't been able to chemically extract from the leaves and stems concentrates and market them? I guess I'm a little taken aback at the suggestion that the industry is economically unviable with a delay of some portion of time for a chemical extraction of the concentrate from the less usable part. So,
Mr. Chairman, thanks for the question. I think that's a very good one. No, of course, the industry is not unviable at present, but it's also not regulated in any manner. So the black market is not bound by any such regulation. So they're processing all parts of the plant as they see fit. The difference, of course, is that we are trying to move this industry, very large industry, to a regulated, legitimate business model. And those of us who would participate in such an industry in a legitimate, regulated fashion are bound by those rules and therefore would be affected by them.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is along those same lines, and maybe your answer clarified it, but I missed that. Because the industry is unregulated, does that mean that the price would absorb the loss of throwing away certain product, or are you saying that people aren't throwing away product, they're processing it and selling it in the black market? Because my understanding would be of the former, that there has been a lot of waste, but the price is such that it compensates for that.
Representative Wolf, thank you for the question. To the chair, I think that's a good question. It's probably a bit of both. I think that the black market has less incentive to try and recapture the value of that trim because they don't have the excise tax, for example. They don't have other costs that would be associated with regulated industry. But that trim definitely gets used. It does get produced into hash and hash oil, and those get sold or processed further and sold off in another form. So, in the black market, current black market, those portions of the plant are being used to some extent.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony today. We have available Hillary Martin from Legislative Legal online, as well as Jay Butler from the Department of Health and Social Services. Does anyone have any questions for either one of those people? Seeing none, I think that we are going to conclude our hearing today. I wanted to remind everybody that on our next meeting, we will have Dr. L. Ray Matthews from Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, with a presentation to us on how we can improve health and recovery from accidents and trauma and all in Alaska. And we will be looking for that presentation on Thursday. And just to make sure that everyone also knows that on Thursday evening from 7 to 9, Dr. Butler will be down at KTOO studio having a presentation more to geared toward medical professionals, and that's on Thursday from 7 to 9. And so anyway, but you're all invited as well, because this is sponsored by the House Committee. And so is there anything else to come before the committee? Mr. Butler, or Dr. Butler, did I see an indication you might want to?
Just for clarification, the presentation on Thursday is by Dr. Matthews.
I'm sorry if I misspoke. Yes, it's Dr. Matthews, and that will be teleconferenced to medical centers and others throughout Alaska for viewing. And with that, we will be adjourned, and it is 4:55.